We're going to be looking in Matthew today, Matthew 24, verses 3 through 7. If you don't mind, would you please stand for the reading of God's words? Matthew 24, verses 3 through 7, and it says, "As Jesus was sitting there on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. 'Tell us,' they said, 'when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?' Jesus answered them, 'Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive you. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine and earthquake in various places." For a few minutes today, I want us to think on this topic, the fierce urgency of now. This passage sounds ominous. It sounds like doom and gloom. But God has something for us in every warning that he gives us. But it's us who needs to heed the call and listen to the warning. As we pause to honor the life and legacy of a great American civil rights leader, I felt it was befitting to draw from his words, the parallel of Israel and America facing what Dr. King referenced as the fierce urgency of now. As a country, we are faced with the looming dilemma of right versus wrong. A dilemma we were taught how to resolve as children. However, somehow this particular dilemma continues to resurface over and over and over again. Is it that we never solved it in the beginning? Or is it that this is the work of a skilled, highly ambitious adversary who has been working to conform us to his ways and not the ways of the Lord? Regardless of the skill and the magnitude of the adversary, those who believe in Jesus Christ has been gifted with the knowledge and the wisdom to consistently refute the enemy and stave off the dilemma and the effects of submitting to him. We already have that power. Here we stand on the precipice of turning the corner into darkness. One that we have been warned about time and time again, still somehow we seem determined to move in a manner that is not pleasing to God nor advantageous for God's people. Unfortunately, this is not new to the people of God. And it's not new to this country. There was another great nation that was special to God. This nation was Israel. And it walked this path of its own destruction, grieving God and causing great pain within its own confines. And somehow, it was as if the enemy had them under a spell or something, because they didn't seem to be able to help themselves. Generation after generation, they walked this misguided, delusional path, which led them to the wrath of God, causing chastisement and separation between them and God. Looking at America today, we find ourselves in a very similar path. And in the words of Dr. King, we are facing the fierce urgency of now. If we don't act, if we don't get ourselves together, if we don't learn to put God first, if we don't learn to get out of the way and let God be God, we could very well find ourselves where Israel was, lost, separated, and suffering the wrath of God. Israel had locked itself into a battle with itself, way back in the books of Kings. The nation divided after the death of Solomon when his sons came into power. The sons argued over power and eventually divided the nation because of taxes. After all they had gone through, after all that God had done for them, after all of the fighting and rejection from the enemies, after going through everything they had gone through, after having been captured and set free more than 20 different times, the greed of one brother and the unwillingness and the uncommitted, hyper-worldly group of people, God's people, God's promised people, God's chosen people, divided a nation that God had put together. Yeah. Now, although this nation was slowly dying of self-inflicted wounds, they acted like they didn't even know they were their own worst enemy. Right. As we hold up the mirror of introspection for this America, we can see ourselves caught in the very same dilemma. We came here supposedly seeking religious freedom, seeking separation from the grips of a ruling, intrusive government. We came here claiming to be under the blessings of God, proclaiming our God to be the dominance over every other God. Yet all America did was something much less than godly. God covered and protected this young America while she claimed to have a deep faith. She claimed to be led by God. She claimed to be following God. But her actions have always been contrary to her words. America has managed to lock herself into a state of division within herself, just like Israel did. Not at the death of her father, not about taxes. America divided itself over the idea of free labor that was stolen from a continent on the opposite side of the globe. The labor was the means of working the fields and producing agricultural dynasties that literally made the South. Rife with the sin of imprisoning humans for free labor, there was also abuse and debauchery and murder and starvation and so much more that America never repented for, let alone apologized. Israel sinned against God for generations. America proved to do the same thing. God was not and is not pleased with the actions of his promised people. As we turn to our text, Israel found itself in a place where they had been told that they could not fulfill the law, primarily because they were never God's intent. But because it was a tangible concept to their past, they were determined not to let go of it and never to leave the past. Even though God had sent them a better way, even though God had told them there was another way that he wanted them to serve them, they were stuck in and wanted to stay in the past. Not only did they want to stay there, but they tried to insist that everybody else stay there with them. If this sounds familiar, look around you. If you've been watching the news, you've been hearing the sound bites. Look around you. Somehow there are people in this America that wants to take us back to the past. Not only do they want to take us back to the past, they want everybody to stay there with them. This nation of people had the presence of Jesus right there with them. The presence of Jesus, the manifestation of God himself, telling them which way he wanted them to go. Still, they insisted on doing it their own way. After repeated rebuke from God, they insisted on teaching the law and ignoring Jesus. And all they were doing to this point was their veiled attempts at self-promotion. So Jesus again warned them of their practices and their false teachings. But they kept doing what they wanted to do. So here in Matthew 24, Jesus warns them what would come of them if they didn't turn around now. He tells his disciples, I'm going to destroy everything that they have. There will be an end to this. He tells them that they could never know the day or the hour when history would reach its climax. However, he did give them a certain sign to look for. He said, there will be increases in wars and rumors of wars. There will be famine and pestilence and earthquakes. He said, people will be talking about killing each other all over the nation. He said, somebody's going to develop an atom bomb and they're going to drop it on somebody else. And the world is going to begin to implode right then. He said, somebody's going to want to take you back to a time when you had no freedom, when you had no say in anything that was going on. He said, just keep watching the things that are going on. Parcels of land are going to start to just catch on fire and burn for months at a time. That's not what he told the disciples, but that's what he told us. And then he told his disciples, he said, as for you, he said to the disciples, watch out for the deceivers. They will purposely come after you. Don't listen to them. Fair warning. The people turned a blind eye to the disciples, and then they were deceived. A generation that has sought its own wisdom rather than the wisdom of God is beginning to taste the wrath of God. People and governments are beginning to reel as the prophet declared centuries ago in his prophecy. The word of God will never return void. What he said to Israel is still applicable today. As we look around, we can see that throughout much of the world, there is a defiance of authority, a revolt against law and order. Even Christians are in a state of slumber to which they do not want to be awakened. The accumulated evidence of a universal insanity, which is manifest itself in a mad desire to revolt and to kill, just seems to be everywhere. I don't have to deal with you on a rational level. I can just wipe you out. Shootings every day, mass casualties happening all around us, governments all around the world at odds with themselves. I can hear the word of Jeremiah saying, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his wealth. But if we are to glory, let us glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For these I delight, says the Lord. With all of our knowledge and all of our wisdom, we seemingly cannot solve our problems. As we watch and we listen to debates between political parties and arguments in the streets and dissenting views in our neighborhood and an overwhelming bluster of I am right and you are wrong, long gone are the values of loving our neighbors. I wish I could drop some proverbs on some people and help them to see something like Proverbs 3:7. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil, rather. Or in Proverbs 14:2, to remind the people that there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. The troubles and the problems of the human race seem to stem from the fact that it has followed the wisdom of the world rather than following the wisdom of God. God has given us word after word after word for us to cling to and hold on to. He's given us everything we need in his gospel. But apparently God's people are too busy or too self-consumed to be bothered with what the word has to say. This is a picture of our lives. Wise in our own conceit. Stumbling from one predicament to another, fumbling our opportunities, causing confusion in an already too confused world, people bound with chains of their own making and caught in traps of their own wrongdoing, all the while impressed with their sense of own self-importance. God said through Jeremiah, my people are fools. They don't know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil. They know not how to do good. Go back and read that, Jeremiah 4:22. Skilled in doing evil. Just think of our own modern life. What our vast array of, with all that we have, with our vast array of scientific progress, our genius of organizational structure, our engineering prowess, our aeronautical acumen, our unprecedented achievements, and with all that we have, with all that we know, we are still slaves to passion and duped by our obsession, and we're frustrated when we can't do more. We can't get more. It annoys us. The people of Israel seems to have lost their sense of sin, and so have we. It's evident in the increase of depravity and how we talk to each other, how we act towards each other, even how we openly accept everything the devil throws at us. We're repulsed by a few things, but we're hungry for everything. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me more. What is called in this trouble in the world? The scripture teaches us that behind the world system in which we live, there is a supernatural power, and it's Satan himself. Yes. Jesus calls Satan the prince of this world. The Bible teaches us that he is the God of this age who has blinded the minds of those who did not believe. It's sad, but we see the depravity and we smell the stench, yet we still follow Satan like he came from God. So here we are, staring at an inauguration tomorrow. On the day we set aside to celebrate a great civil rights icon, this country once again ignored everything God has been screaming at us. We closed our eyes to woeful sin because the instant gratification we seek is more important than the cries of those being marginalized and maligned at our phantom promise of bigger, better, and more with nothing to substantiate the claim was all it took for us to look the other way and shout, give us Barabbas. God forewarned us that not a stone will be left standing because he would destroy everything. He told us that there would be false gods coming and they would do great tricks to try and win us. But he said, don't listen to him. Don't be deceived. He asked us to stand on his word, saying, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will stand always. Meanwhile, as Jesus was teaching his disciples, he was fully aware that he was going to be leaving them to return to heaven. And he wanted his disciples to know that the way that the people were living was not going to get them into heaven. And he was not going to be around much longer. And so he wanted them to get that message as quickly as they can get it. There was an urgent need for them to get this message for the sake of their salvation. God said, there is a fierce urgency of now to get the word out to my people. If we look ahead three chapters, we'll see that Jesus was being crucified. But what the world had not understood was that Jesus was and is the sacrificial lamb of the Old Testament law that was coming to take away the sins of all who believed. If we move one more chapter, we'll find that Jesus is being resurrected and he's being raised with all power over sin and death and hell. He had come back to do exactly what he said he was going to do. And although Jesus did his part, the onus is still on us to believe in him in order to activate the promise of eternal life. Without eternal life, eternal death still awaits all of us. From the destruction and the devastation of a lost and confused Israel, a divided nation lay in ruin. As he promised, God blinded the eyes of his chosen nation so that they were unable to see Jesus for who he is. There is a fear that this nation too is being blinded. Perhaps not by God, but by our own greed, by our own selfishness, by our own pride. The three major categories of sin. But just as Jesus was resurrected so that all may have hope for salvation, we need to remove the blinders before it is too late. Dr. King said, now we face with the fact that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. In this unfolding conundrum of life and history, there is such a thing as being too late. There is no time for apathy and complacency. This is a time for vigorous and positive action. This cry for urgency was only recorded twice by Dr. King. The first time was in his I Have a Dream speech, delivered on August 28th. 1963 at the Lincoln Memorial on the Washington, D.C. National Mall. The second time was Beyond Vietnam was his sermon in April 1967, given at the Riverside Church in New York. In each of these, he stated and signaled a sense of impatience in the face of a looming catastrophe. In the I Have a Dream speech, when he referenced how black people were being shortchanged on their promissory note of civil rights, Dr. King said, this is no time to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. In a similar vein, in Beyond Vietnam sermon, Dr. King warned us that the failure to heed the fierce urgency of now may render our aspirations of peace and joy, to quote, the bleached bones and jumbled residue of numerous civilizations, where it is written the pathetic words, too late. His words were written to engage a nation to put aside its petty differences and to concentrate on humanity and the humanity of man. Sadly, 62 years later, we're still facing the same problem that he addressed in his 1963 speech. As Matthew wrote about Jesus' struggle to get the people to understand and accept the eternal life, they thought they had all they needed. Dr. King faced the same dilemma in 1963, in 67, and even in April of 1968, this nation was not ready to hear the voice of reason tilting toward a better way of doing things. Here we are, 57 years after his assassination, and this nation still does not want to hear the cries of the people for freedom and equality. The biblical prophets started warning about the day of the Lord is near in the Old Testament. Jesus came and many did not believe. He provided them a way to eternal life and still some won't hear him. The problem is we don't have all the time in the world that we think we do. The prophecies are manifesting themselves and we are not listening. But I wanted to take this time today to remind us all that there is still a fierce urgency of now. Now we had better start getting our house in order. Now we had better learn to trust in the Lord. Now we need to know that lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge the Lord, and he will direct our path. Now is when we need to stop listening to the world and start walking closer with the Lord. Church, we never know when the Son of Man shall return, so we need to be ready. We need to be ready now so we don't have to get ready. Now is the time to check ourselves and stop living like the world. Now is the time to put down our phones long enough to see what's going on in the world around us. This is not the time. This is not the time to trust our future to influencers who are only trying to get enough likes to monetize their page. What's going on in this country is real. And when you feel it in your pockets, when you feel it in your inability to get a home, when you feel it in your inability to live a dream life with just one job, when you realize that your child can't get into the school of their choosing and it has nothing to do with their grades, but it has everything to do with their ethnicity, people of God, now is the time to engage in the world that you live in. This is the fierce urgency of now, and unfortunately, this is not new. This isn't new. We have slumbered and slept and lulled ourselves into a false sense of security, and we don't realize the bait and switch that's happening right before our eyes. Israel lived through centuries of havoc, not recognizing the urgency of now. It led to its destruction, and history tells us America is on the same road and traveling at Mach speed. No longer is this just about racial equality. We have turned the corner now to economic inequality. And there is a fierce urgency of now that we have to wake up and realize that only God can set us free. Only God can keep us from falling. When the top 1% are no longer satisfied with all the wealth in the world, now they want the power too. What does that give us? If they've got the money and the power, where do we have to go? God warned the Israelites. Dr. King warned this nation. And too many don't seem to hear or care about the warnings. So here is one more warning. God is coming back, and he's coming back for his people. And all who believe in him are going to be saved. You don't know when he's coming, so be ready so you don't have to get ready. Yeah. And America is on a collision course with her past. And it's not wasn't pretty then, and it's not going to be pretty the next time if we allow it to happen. We know that power corrupts, as the saying goes, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. We need to pray, but we also need to act. Prayer changes things, but faith without works is dead. We've got to do both. Get involved in community awareness projects. Get involved in your local government. Get involved in church awareness programs. Find a way to help others while you help yourself. There is a fierce urgency of now, and now is not the time to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. It's time to get to work. It's time to act right now. It's time to activate our faith. It's time to work in our community. It's time now, because there is a fierce urgency of now, but we had better wake up and get busy. Get busy seeing the face of God. Get busy learning our history so that we don't repeat it. Get busy activating our faith. Get busy working in our community. Get busy working with the Lord. Help others while we help ourselves. There is a fierce urgency of now, and procrastination may be the cause of us having to write in the history books, another nation went down because it was too late. There's a fierce urgency of now, and we can't allow it to be said of us. Yeah. They acted too late. There is a fierce urgency of now, and we can't allow it to be said of us. They were apathetic. There is a fierce urgency of now, and we need to be able to leave our kids a world where they can see the glory of God. Where they can see God's truth is still marching on. Where they can see that the fight and the struggle was not for nothing. Where they can see that God is still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. There's a fierce urgency of now, and we have got to act before it's too late. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word today, God. Father, we just pray that this word has fallen on fertile soil so that we will hear from you I don't want them to hear me, God, because I didn't say anything that you haven't already said. I want them to hear from you, God, and be able to live on this for the rest of this week, for the rest of this month, for the rest of this year, God, for the rest of our lives if need be, because we need you. We understand that there's a fierce urgency of now. And perhaps our procrastination is simply because we don't know what to do. But we know that if you would just incline your ear and hear our prayer, that everything will be all right. It's in the Master's name of Jesus the Christ that we pray. Amen.